Welcome to
Men's Book Club.
Men's Book Club. Think of that rendition.
I see you've been working on it.
It's very hard to get different renditions of the same three words, but
Simpsons have been doing it forever, though.
Yeah, it seems like they've been doing it forever. Today, we're here to discuss a classic, as one of our friends would say.
Now, was it a classic?
No, absolutely not. That's why I'm saying it. We had a friend who would call everything a classic when it wasn't, so.
Hey, if you heard about it, it's a classic. If not, right. Much I never heard about it, so it's not a classic.
This is So Long, See You Tomorrow by William Maxwell.
How did you find out about this book?
I pulled a U, actually. Okay. And
because I heard people like really like it.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a random book.
It's either really, really liked or really, really hated. And I think I picked it up when the local Barnes and Nobles that I was next to was closing, and they had this fire sale where they were selling things for so cheap. And I think this book was like $1.99.
Oh, wow.
Okay. If you bought another book, which I did. So I was like, small. And I figured,
it's
like 130 pages. And I figured I'll save it for one of those weeks where I don't know what I want to read next, and it'll be like a nice filler. That's exactly what it did. So thanks, Mr. Maxwell. Appreciate that. So a very quick synopsis of the story. This is mainly centered around the death of Lloyd Wilson, who dies on a farm. He gets shot at his farm. And
which happens in the first chapter,
right?
Two pages.
Yeah. You find out about the death of this guy who gets killed. And it doesn't seem like anybody is curious about who killed him. It seems like it's fairly obvious that he was killed by his old friend because he was having an affair with his wife. And basically the remainder of the book is going through the background and the story of how this, not really the author, who we don't really get too much about, we don't know too much about him, but it's really mainly about the son of the murderer, whose name is Cletus, I think I remember that because it reminded me of the Simpsons.
It confused me the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, okay, is Clarence a dad?
Oh, I have a chart. That's how confused I was. Yeah, I have like a little chart.
I kept going back and forth okay, no. Clarence is the dad. Okay,
right.
Okay.
So Clarence is the killer of Lloyd Wilson, and Clarence's son is Cletus, and Clarence's wife is the one that had the affair with Lloyd Wilson. And the entire story is generally just based on Cletus's life as he was growing up, and also it's also about William Maxwell's life as he was growing up.
So is it, this didn't really happen, did it?
No, but I think a lot of it draws on his,
because I read that it was like semi-autobiography. Mm-hmm. So the narrator is William Maxwell, but it's right. Not exactly
right. It's not. He's basically telling the story of something that might have happened in his neighborhood. But I don't think it's supposed to be autobiographical. But he did grow up in Illinois, in rural Illinois, around the same era. He was born in the early 1900s. So around the 1920s, which is when this story takes place, he would have been, you know, in his teens, which kind of makes sense. The story really is about life in those time frames. Like, it's really about what happens in rural out countryside where there isn't much city, and there's a small town, obviously, but it really talks about family dynamics for the most part. I found the same thing that you did. That's really it for the synopsis, by the way. There really isn't too much about the murder itself. Like I said, it seems like everybody knows the majority of the town. Oh, it's also important to notice Clarence Smith ends up killing himself after he kills Lloyd Wilson.
I read read something about the book, and they described it pretty well, where they're like, the climax happens in the first like two pages, mm-hmm. and then it's the rest of the book, which is so different than most other books that lead up to something, kind of led up to, it's the opposite of a book, mm-hmm. you would think.
Yeah, and there are a lot of parts in this book that I think are supposed to be more like lessons that he learned as he was growing up. You know, like standing up to his father not being able to move on without his mom. And then when he does, the son kind of resents him. And it's very hard to really wrap a synopsis around this. It's supposed to be about a murder that happens in a rural county, but it really isn't. The 110 of the 130 pages are really centered around life on the farm and what that means in growing up in a small community and everybody knowing everybody and divorce and family life. And it's very sad. I'll say that the book is kind of like, it's almost like the entire book is in black and white. Like, yeah, that's the
vibe. There's a lot of death. Cause it was like the guy dies, the mother, mm-hmm. his mother dies, mm-hmm.
His sibling,
the guy commits suicide. One commits suicide.
Right.
So that's another death.
Yeah. I'm glad that you kind of mentioned that the characters were a little bit confusing, because that was my first thing I was going to ask you was, did you find the characters confusing? Because yes. I wrote a chart because I got to like page 30 and I still went back and forth. I'm like, okay, Clarence, Cletus, they kind of start the same letters. Okay. And I wrote a little chart and I was like, okay, his wife cheated with Lloyd. And
not only was that confusing, I thought, but also... It starts with the death, and then the narrator talks about his life, and it goes completely differently.
Yeah.
Then it's like to a farm, and I'm like, wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah, yeah. And also, there are a lot of side characters, like...
There's a lot of characters for a short book.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a ton.
His dad... Sorry, Lloyd Wilson never really owned a farm. He kind of leased it from a lady, and she just makes random appearances in it, which is what really makes me feel like this whole thing was supposed to be like a therapeutic book about his life. And I think that's why it wasn't that long. I think he was getting a lot of things out in it. But mostly it really was about his life, and it was about life on the farm. I think a lot of these things, death from the Spanish flu, how that affects family, his dad moving to a bunch of different places. I think that was all sort of what life was like in the early 1920s. Even the death of Lloyd Smith, when it was being investigated, and this was set in the 1920s, was very reminiscent of Killers of the Flower Moon. That's how they kind of investigated it the same way, where they're like, they would drive their cars on the track where the death happened. So like, you know, they didn't really capture any evidence. They didn't really ask anybody. There was like little evidence pieces scattered throughout the entire scene where there was a death. And people said that some guy was at the bottom of a lake and nobody believed them, and ended up being somebody at the bottom of the lake. And it was just, it's very like 1920s way of investigating it. I don't think this book was supposed to be about events. I think this book was supposed to be about the characters.
And that's what it seemed like, yeah.
And we got duped a little bit with like the synopsis. Well, I got duped with the synopsis because it really made it seem about the murder. Now, I want to ask you something.
Mm.
Was Cletus a real person or was he an imaginary friend?
Oh, okay. I thought he was real.
Yeah. But think about it. This guy never really makes... doesn't say a single word throughout the entire time that this character knew him. He says that he saw him in his high school after he's traveled far.
That confused me a little bit.
So the character moves from wherever they are, rural Illinois, to like a big city outside of Chicago, and they like, or in Chicago, and he goes to this high school, and he's supposed to be in a school with thousands of people, and all of a sudden Cletus ends up there.
You know, that didn't even surprise... Well, that kind of surprised me, but more so, it's like, okay, you saw him once, you could see him again.
Yeah, but
it's not a once-shot thing.
Yeah, but his logic was, if I didn't say hi to him the first time, I wasn't going to be able to say hi to him at all.
But you could have.
You could have, but most of this story, actually, I'll say, like, towards the end of it, it kind of... becomes a little bit more clear. It's almost like this author's way of getting this Cletus character off of his chest. It's like he feels guilt because when the character's dad, the narrator's dad, was basically building a house in on the farm outside of like a small town, Cletus used to just come and play with him. And they never spoke, which is what makes me believe that he's imaginary. He just showed up in the house that was being built, and they were kind of playing around in the roof before it was completed and like inside the house. And they never really spoke, and they never had any sort of rapport or anything like that. And then they don't. Then his dad commits suicide after killing somebody, and he never sees him again. And then he moves so far away to a big town, and then he sees him, and then he never sees him again. So it's like, to me, I don't know. It felt to me like Cletus was supposed to be like this imaginary friend that was supposed to maybe symbolize the way that he kind of never lets go of that part of his childhood, where he kind of constantly kept going back to when his dad was building a house from scratch, and they were still in that, I think he called it the Sixth Avenue home or Sixth Street home, where like there was more of a neighborhood, and everybody knew everybody, and he kind of kept reverting back to that. And maybe when he went to Chicago, he felt that. There really isn't any answer to it, because he doesn't 100% say that that he was imaginary. It doesn't say 100%. He never spoke to the kid, right? So you would think that, is he real?
Yeah, and then they also, I think I was reading somewhere, it's kind of interesting, this book, he feels guilty for not talking to him again, and this is his answer mm-hmm. to it.
Right.
Which is very interesting.
Right.
Pretty odd.
But. He pulls like the old yearbooks and tries to find him, and he doesn't. That's when I was like, wait a minute. Is this guy real?
I mean, I guess it could be just a.
He didn't find pictures of him.
Death, I guess.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think that was a big part of it. I think he was just like. A big event happened in his life, and I don't know if it's necessarily the death or anything, because you never really know how that's related.
Well, maybe it's like the mom's.
His mom's death. Right.
Which was his mom's death.
Which was a big part of it.
I would guess.
Yeah.
And maybe he thought he created somebody that had a similar, like a similar death, because it was his dad. I mean, a little different, I guess, because how did the mom died of like a. Giving birth, right? Giving birth.
Oh, yeah,
or something. So the other guy was shot. But I guess it was, kind of similar.
Yeah. And it's also, I don't know if you caught this, but it seemed like in the first part of the book, he made a very conscious effort to say, I wasn't there, so I wouldn't know.
Mm.
And then the next half of the book, he kind of gives you a massive story about Cletus and his father.
Yeah,
and
I think, again, I was like trying to find out stuff about it. And when I went to some YouTube channel, and it was almost his imagination.
Right.
I wonder if any of this even happened.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe none of it happened.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe none of it.
But we never really know how the major narrator ties into any of this, besides that his family knew this other family.
Well, what's pretty interesting, though, is you ever see Kill Bill?
Yeah.
It kind of, the beginning kind of reminds me, like, it's like the very beginning, somebody gets beat or dead.
Right.
And then you're just.
And then the rest of it is
just. Yeah, I mean, Kill Bill is a little different, but
yeah.
It's like right in the beginning, it's kind of like, this is what's happening.
Yeah. I think it was a good writing. I think for a lot of the actual story itself, it felt a little fragmented. It was kind of all over the place. We went to Cletus, we left Cletus.
I think
we
the
went
dog to the, had a point of view.
Yeah, there was a dog, which, by the way, honestly, was the saddest part of the whole thing. That dog's story was crazy. Nobody wants him. And yeah, it was very weird. And also, like, the idea of getting a divorce in a small town was very much highlighted over and over and over again. And it was very, I don't know, it was a nice way to look at what a small town in the 1920s, a rural town in the countryside, but also as a small town, and how they react to certain things. Like, everybody's kind of giving disapproving eyes, not to the guy who cheated on another woman, but on the husband of the woman that cheated.
Didn't pleasure enough, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it was more about like how you should feel shame about not keeping your woman, not your woman should feel ashamed for having cheated
on you. And these stories, it's told in a different way, but it's a story of just time. It's like neighbors, they're friendly. things, yes. You know, something happens.
Yeah.
You're not friendly anymore. It crushes you. Your life, everybody's life. I mean, if it was true, if that they were not imaginary, they're all ruined. Divorces and the saddest part is even they couldn't even be together. Like it was
right.
They just ended up all alone.
Yeah, I agree.
Two deaths, meaningless.
Yeah. And they were best friends.
Yeah.
Best friends. I mean, they did everything together, which is crazy.
Which makes it even worse, I guess.
And you can see in certain parts of the story as Lloyd Wilson, who is the guy who had the affair, you can see him kind of like, oh, I shouldn't go into this house because I know how this will end up. Oh, I shouldn't talk to his wife. And little by little, he's making like these small concessions of why he should go. So in the beginning, it was like, oh, I'm not going to go into the house. I shouldn't go into the house. And it's like, well, if I don't accept iced tea from her, it'll be rude. Or like something
so inviting.
It was very, very, very small increments, which I appreciated because that's real. Like, it wasn't, oh man, I thought she was so
this
hot.
This book is almost Revolutionary Road-ish in a way, where not too much happens.
Yeah, I agree. It's just really the emotions of a lot of these different characters. You know, even Clarence's wife that ended up having the affair. The affair didn't come from, like, you know, what would be in a movie, which is like, oh my God, this guy is so attractive and I want to. It was just came from like a dull way of life. She kind of felt stuck. Her husband wasn't really paying attention to her. He was more focused on the farm and all of these other things.
I think that happens more than we think. It's like you're good friends. It happened to me when I liked like my friend's sister a long time ago. Like,
she's listening.
Yeah. Oh, she's a big listener. She's number one. but it was like that, like, where it's not like she's most like supermodel, but you're with her all the time.
Right. So yeah, it's the familiarity. Like, yeah. Yeah. I agree. That's a really good point. It does, the spending time with somebody. That's probably why like office romances are such a big thing, because you're just spending time with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're actually spending probably more time with them than your family.
Right. Exactly.
In a way.
So. Yeah. Okay. It's definitely the kind of book that, like, if you're between books and you don't know what to read, pick it up. It's, I don't know. For me, it took 2 days, maybe 2.5 days, I think.
You know, it's like one of those books for me. It took longer only because I knew I could finish it.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
So I put it down for like a day or two just to start something else, because I'm like, oh, I'm almost done.
I couldn't put it down, not because the story was massively compelling, but because I knew if I put it down for 2 days, I'd forget what was happening.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
Yeah.
It was a little rough. I'm like, oh, wait, Cletus again?
Exactly. And I was reading it back to back. I knew I was, and I should have told you that when I gave it to you. Like, can't put it down. You'll forget. But overall, it was a decent
book. I probably should read again at one point.
Yes,
probably miss some stuff.
Yes, I agree with you.
And it's 100%. So short that you could do it.
Yeah.
It's not like a 135 pages.
This is the kind of book that you can take like on the train and just kind of knock out in like 2 or 3 days of commute, and just kind of, and you'll feel something because it's a very deep book. It's just, it's not about the event. It's really about characters and different people who are feeling different things. So that being said, what's your rating on this book?
I'm going to say a 3.
Interesting. I'll also give it a 3. I think, it's on the better end. It's lacking in a lot, but I'll tell you what, if this book was 300 pages, it would have been a 1. The fact that it was small
it was confusing at times.
Yeah. I agree.
And it's not the most like compelling story.
I agree. It's about this guy's life. I mean, if you want to know what people in rural Illinois felt in 1920s, how they went about their affairs and their day to days, and how the kids felt and how a dog felt, this is the book for you.
Well, I will say, I think this guy was an editor too.
Mm.
So it makes sense that this book was short. He probably took out a lot of...
And all of his books are really centered around the same themes. He has a book about his family biography also. Like, he's very into this, like, what life was like in rural countryside.
And I think, like, if your mom died when you're young,
scarring.
Yeah, it leaves an impact. Yeah. Because I don't know how old he was, like 10 maybe in real life.
Yeah, about.
So, yeah, that can leave an impact.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for listening. This was William Maxwell's So Long, See You Tomorrow. 131 pages. We both rated it a 3. Follow us at Men's Book Club Pod on Instagram. Send us any DMs of any books that you'd like us to read. And we'll
any classics.
Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see you next time.
All right, bye.